That's a gay ass podcast.
What? That's a gay ass podcast.
A what?
A really, really, really gay podcast that we call That's a Gay Ass Podcast.
That's a gay ass name for a gay ass podcast.
Holy Toledo, Bradley Gibson is on That's a Gay Ass Podcast, and you always look divine, but today this ensemble is really just delicious. Bradley, thank you for being here and looking so gorgeous.
Oh my gosh, Eric, thank you for having me, and thank you for that compliment, baby.
And it's just the beginning. The compliments will keep coming because I have to tell you and the listeners that this man, Bradley Gibson, is unbelievably talented. I actually met you just in a social situation first. You were with our dear friend Tom Hamlet after one of my shows in New York. I met you and I was like, who the hell is this guy? And next thing I know, I'm stalking you on the internet and you are just a talent. If anybody listening doesn't know, this man, Bradley Gibson, played Hercules at Paper Mill in Disney's Hercules. He was also on Broadway in Rocky, also on Broadway in A Bronx Tale, also has a gorgeous podcast with our friend Tom Hamlet and Dan Rosales called Good Judies. I was very lucky enough to be on that podcast, so you've got a lot going for you, and I want to dive into all of it. So, Bradley, thank you, and first hard-hitting question. How is your gay day going? We're recording on a Monday. Did you have a gay-ass weekend, or was it boring and straight?
I am doing great because it's Monday, meaning it's my day off. I'm in D.C.
Oh, yes.
I'm working on a new play, and so the weekend was not a very gay-ass weekend. I guess maybe it was gay because I was in theater rehearsal.
I mean, rehearsal is canonically gay. Yeah. Is the play a canonically gay play? Are you giving queer in it? What is it giving?
I'm giving lots in it. And one of the things I'm giving is queer. I play three different characters in this three-act play. And one of the characters is a gay man.
Hello. What am I allowed to ask what the play is?
Yeah, absolutely. The play is called Fremont Avenue. I'm doing it at Arena Stage. It's a world premiere of a new, brand new American play.
Hell, and
it's
yes.
It's about three generations of a black family in Southern California and all the things that it's kind of a love letter to black men in general.
Yeah.
And a love letter to the black family. And it's been a beautiful process so
I'm
far.
So happy for you. And I just, it's kind of crazy to have a career in this fucked up industry because we're constantly sort of fighting for stability and being valued. But to be able to like work at such a great place like Arena Stage and then on a play that actually is like this has such an amazing message. I'm doing my research already, finding out that it's a co-production with South Coast Rep.
Yep.
It is running until November 23rd. So if any of our listeners are in DC, go see Bradley in this, what looks like an incredible new play. And also congratulations to you for just fucking booking, like not only just work, but really great, cool new work. Hell
Thank
fucking
you.
Yeah.
Thank you. It's been, you know, I pinch myself daily because it's something that I've been wanting to do is, you know, I always want to do original new work. And I've been lucky enough to do a lot of that, especially when it comes to musical theater and television. And it's cool to say now that I'm also doing that in a play, a new play.
It's so cool. Well, and I obviously, the listeners know that for this episode, for this interview series, we will get into some sassy and horny questions. But I just need to get into the Disney of it all before we do that. It would be against my religion not to. When I was looking up your herstory online, some places said you did Lion King on Broadway. Some places said you did not. Did you or did you not do Lion King on Broadway?
I did do it on Broadway for 2 years.
Holy shit. And when was this?
It was 2018 until 2020. The pandemic was, the shutdown was my last show on Broadway as Simba.
That's a dark beginning of the pandemic, which is having to say goodbye to a very steady Lion King check.
Yeah, it was truly the end of the road for me. I was, you know, I was leaving the show that June anyway. So I was coming to the closing of that chapter. It just kind of closed a little earlier than I thought it was.
Wow. And you played Simba then?
Yeah. Yeah.
Holy shit. And then, so that makes sense then for why the Hercules came up. Because for, again, anybody who doesn't know, Bradley was Hercules at Paper Mill. Now the show, I interviewed Robert Horn on the main podcast who wrote the book for Hercules. And I know it's running on the West End now. Have you heard of any whisperings of if Hercules will come to the U.S.?
You know, there's always whispers about it. I've been working on that show with Robert Horn and the entire team for like 5 years now.
Wow.
We started in like 2020. We began the process of turning the show that was a one-act show in the park, right? And a part of our Shakespeare in the Park. They turned that into a two-act musical because of the response of that production, right? So it's just evolved so much in the past 5 years, which led up to Paper Mill. And then, you know, post-Paper Mill, we've done workshops and readings and things like that. And it's been, and the production went to Germany, to Hamburg.
Oh, right.
First, and then it went to the West End. And, you know, there's always whispers about what will happen, but, you know. I don't know.
I mean, no one actually knows what's going on behind the scenes at Disney besides the people at Disney. So exactly. I guess we just sort of buckle up and go along for the 4DX ride.
Yeah.
I'm going to put it in this post for the podcast because people need to see it. But there's a clip of you singing Go the Distance at the 2023, the Royal Variety Performance in this gigantic theater.
Yeah.
You sound so good. You look so good. I was telling my husband, I was interviewing you for the pod and I was showing him the video and we were just like, watching it over and over. It's like,
oh my gosh, thank
you. Just delicious. So
that was crazy too, because never did I ever think that I would be one playing Hercules. Like, right? If you were told a little kid in the movie theater in like 96 watching it, never thought that would happen. And two, what am I doing in London singing it for the royal family?
I mean,
what? That makes no sense.
It's almost like your destiny was bigger than you could even perceive from a young age. And I think that's actually a great segue into, can we get a view into Bradley as a young closeted kid before he came out? Can you put us in the geographical place of where you were, and then when did the first boy kiss end up happening?
I was born and raised in a small town in North Carolina called Pinehurst.
Shout out
to Pinehurst, the 910, Moore County.
Yes. Yes.
And I was raised in a really conservative, but, you know, liberal-leaning conservative Mormon household. I was raised by my great-grandmother in a single-parent Mormon household. Yeah.
Can I ask you a question that might be considered to be not nice or okay, but are there a lot of Black Mormons?
No, not at all.
Okay.
Strange, right? I'm a gay Black Mormon from small town North Carolina who was raised by their great grandmother. What?
And your great grandmother, did she convert to Mormonism?
Her mother-in-law was the first person to convert. So that was
her,
my great great grandmother was the woman that converted to Mormonism back in the day. I don't know what decade that was, but it was definitely
because Mormonism didn't start until like somewhat recently in American history. So maybe your great great grandma was one of the founding grandmothers,
the pioneers. I think, you know, it definitely was before African Americans had the full rights to the priesthood in the church, which is crazy. Yeah. So to think that my family was in the Mormon church when they weren't allowed to be fully seen as members with the full access of the religion because of their skin color and race, it's crazy. I don't know.
Is your family still part of the Mormon church?
No. As people passed away and as younger people started to, you know, like me, I'm gay, or just having, you know, not agreeing with certain things of the church, not very many family members are members of the church anymore. No.
I can understand why. And I was just talking with a friend the other day, whenever I meet an ex-Mormon gay person, a very specific part of me goes out to them, because I think that every person that grows up with a religion has to deal with the certain like limited beliefs that some religions can place on queer people. But I think that Mormonism specifically has an interesting flavor of like, you're not allowed to do a lot of certain things. There's so much emphasis on like, I don't know, white, hetero, have a million kids.
Yeah.
Perfection. Don't drink. perfection. And I'm like, ooh, when you come from a place of like deep, deep perfection, mm-hmm. that makes the level of shameness and otherness, and especially as a gay person, ooh, yeah. we put our, I send my heart out to you, and it seems to be that you are thriving. When was the first boy kiss? Hey, gay ass girlies, I just read a romance horror book that I think you'd be absolutely obsessed with. Listen to this. It's called House of Rain by New York Times bestselling author Harley LaRue. And at first I was nervous it would be too scary, but y'all, it's scary and horny. And as a newly self-identified slut, I feel seen. Also, it takes place on a remote island in the Pacific Northwest, which I think the Pacific Northwest canonically has the hottest people. So if that doesn't make you squirt, babe, I don't know what will. Also, the book has so many gay-ass themes. I'm talking family drama, there's rumors, manipulation, and again, it's horny as hell. Now, the writing is also so good that it moves real fast, and there's kink in it, and you will not be able to put this down. Harley LaRue is a queer writer who gets it. You can find House of Rain by Harley LaRue wherever books are sold, in print and in ebook. The gorgeous deluxe hardcover first printing is only available for a limited time, so grab yours before they are gone, babe.
Look, if you're still buying weed from some guy named Trevor in a parking lot, you're doing it wrong. Mood.com delivers legal THC products straight to your door. Gummies, vapes, flower, the good stuff. No sketchy DMs, no med card. Just add to cart, check out, and boom, it's at your doorstep. It's legal in all 50 states, thanks to the Farm Bill, and Mood's products actually work. Seriously, this isn't gas station garbage. It's small batch, lab-tested, real results. Go to Mood.com, use code FIRST20 for 20% off, and never run dry again. That's Mood.com. Go get lit, legally.
It's done.
The first boy kiss was in... was it eighth grade or ninth grade? I was doing I was doing a production of The Music Man in community theater. My second time doing it, because my first time I did Music Man Junior, and I was Harold Hill.
Yeah, like, you were.
I tore it up, baby. I always tell people, I'm like, Hugh Jackman, who? My Harold Hill?
Hugh Jackman, bitch.
You got trouble. You got trouble, junior. My friends, okay?
You got trouble, the junior version.
but this time doing Music Man was, you know, adults were in the show, and I was in the ensemble, and the guy who played Tommy Gelas was like this gymnast queen. He was a couple of years older than me, went to like the opposing high school, like the rival high school. He was a cheerleader and a gymnast. He was out. He was like very... lived in his queerness, didn't care, like kind of was like kind of fuck the bullies kind of energy, to the point where all the bullies either loved him, everyone either loved him or they picked at him, and he was strong enough to be like, fuck y'all kind of energy. I'm going to be me. He was such an amazing human being. I don't know where he is right now, but shout out to him. Jacob.
We shout him. Jacob. Oh, that name is called strength. And strength. That is on knowing your worth and who you are before the world can say otherwise.
Yeah. Like, didn't care. Like, was going to be himself. And he was my friend. We were all kind of like, you know, the ensemble, the young kids, the teens were, we were besties. We were a clique. And he was actually someone who was telling me, like, he told me, I know you're gay. Like, he would, in a friendly way, like, as my buddy, you know, and I would always kind of like, no, I'm not. He would just be like, okay, like, I know, girl. And then one day, I'll never forget, we were in the dressing room by ourselves, and he was talking to me about it, and he was talking about liking some boy or something. And then eventually along the way, he was like, I'm going to kiss you. And I was like, what? And he was like, I'm going to kiss you. And like, I know you want me to kiss you. And like, you need to be kissed. And he kissed me. And I remember like, I remember that feeling of like my shoulders almost like relaxing and just feeling like, oh my God, like this is that kind of magical feeling that you see in movies or something. I remember feeling that, and not even it being that Jacob and I liked each other or we had crushes on each other, but like it just I could exhale in a way. He liberated
me. That's so well said. It's also like when you said that, I had a vision of you seeing your future.
Yeah.
And your future was more kisses that more. Actually felt real, real good.
Yeah.
I mean, God, I've talked about it before, but my first boy kiss, there's no feeling like the electricity.
Yeah.
I literally, it was my first time kissing somebody and getting like rock hard. Like I just like, I was 19, I think. I was a freshman in college. And I just love hearing other people's experiences with their first. And Jacob, that was his name, Jacob?
Jacob.
We thank him for his service.
Yeah.
So did you end up then coming out soon after that, or did you wait?
I came out when I was 16. So that was freshman year. That was like, I think I came out junior year. Yeah, junior year, because sophomore year, after my sophomore year is when I got my first professional job. I did a summer stock production of a Chorus Line in the mountains, North Carolina, with all adults that were either in college or, you know, were actors from New York doing a summer gig.
Oh, wow.
And they were definitely very much, I played Richie, so I was on the line with all the people. So there was definitely a lot of conversation at first by company management and stuff saying like, he's underage, you can't let Bradley drink, you can't let Bradley like be a part of anything, which just made them kind of be like, come on Bradley, wanna come drink this drink with us, wanna come do this. Like, I learned so much about life that summer, you know. And I came home that next year, and 16 is when I kind of started kind of pushing away from the church subconsciously and consciously, and then kind of just having to have a conversation with my Nana, my great grandmother, to be kind of like, I'll never forget that conversation. I actually told
someone
the other day, you know, I had stopped going to church. I was very involved in church. I was very, you know, I am a perfectionist in a way. I'm pretty hard on myself. And so I was determined to be the best Mormon, right? Especially being a closeted Mormon, I was going to be the best one ever. Yeah. I was going to, you know, my family is very female heavy. So I was determined to be a good Mormon man and go on a mission. And like, I was going to be one of the first to like do this thing really right. Right. And, but I started kind of not attending church and not wanting to attend and not doing those sort of extracurricular church activities, not going to seminary in the mornings. And my grandmother also, my Nana, she didn't drive. So I drove her to church. Right. And so I was preventing her from going to church and preventing her from her community and her friends. And there was, she would either play it off, or it would, I could ignore it due to like rehearsal or tech or a show or something. But then
that's,
it came
a lot of pressure,
a lot of pressure. And then there was one Sunday morning where she was trying to get me to go to church, and I was saying no. And she just sat down and she just said like, we got to talk about why. Like, why aren't you wanting to go to church? Why is this so different? I feel you not wanting to go, or hesitation. What is it?
Yeah.
And I just, and she kind of said like, you got to tell me what it is and you got to say it. And I remember just crying and telling her I was gay, and her responding with, I know, and I don't care. And I've known your whole life and I love you and you're supported. And everything I don't understand, I want to understand. And like, that's one of the, that's a moment I'll never forget in my life, and a moment that defines to me, you know, unconditional love. And even when you don't fully understand, there's a way to unconditionally love the people that are yours, your beloveds. And I try to move with that kind of love in for people that are in my life and my family.
I mean, listen, your grandma is the blueprint, and
very much so.
What growing up, what did you call your grandma?
Nana.
Nana is that fucking girl. That,
yeah,
Nana
she is.
She is, yeah, embodying love and saying the right thing. Even if I don't understand, I want to, and I love you unconditionally. And that just makes me grateful for people like her. And it's clear why you've continued to spread that message yourself. I mean, if we get into some of the sort of ways that we have expressed ourselves and without shame, we are going to take a crazy right turn from that beautiful story about your grandma to horny topics, if okay.
Please.
So we know that you are married, but we want to know, we being me, myself, and I want to know, how long have you been with your gorgeous husband, Adam? What's the story?
We have been together almost 9 years, and we've been married for almost 4 years.
Amazing.
Yeah.
And how did you meet your man?
We met. It was a Broadway love story. I was in A Bronx Tale. He was in Aladdin, making his Broadway debut. A cast member of mine was leaving my show, and the girl joining my show and taking that track was one of his best friends. So we started hanging out, and he one night asked me, like, after we had all been together, like, you know, the texting after the fact. And he was like,
yeah.
Hey, we should go out for a drink, like, one night, just us, after a show. I was like, yeah, sure, great. And he quickly was like, amazing. Let's do next Wednesday. It was like a week from that day. Next Wednesday, after our two shows, we'll meet for a drink. You pick the spot, and I'll be there. And which I was like, oh, wow.
I love a go-getter. I love a go-getter.
And then put a part, you know, threw the ball back at me to make me do something too. I chose the bar. I chose Hourglass Tavern on Restaurant Row.
Classy.
He thought I meant Glasshouse Tavern. He went to the wrong place. He was like 20, 30 minutes late. I'd already made it through like one drink. And I kid you not, it felt like the world felt different when he walked in. Even though, yeah, you know, like it felt different. And that one drink ended up becoming a dinner and a walk. And we had this moment where I walked him to the train, and we had like a little innocent little kiss, like nothing crazy. And like it had started to slightly snow. It was, and I remember walking uptown to my train and being like in the snow, being like buzzing, like what is happening? You know, and we've been dating ever since.
The rest is herstory. That's incredible. I love a Broadway love story.
Yeah.
I do want to go now into what we call the paywall section, where we bring up the paywall and let us go really horny. So let's, am I able to ask if you two are monog or open? For the rest of this interview, head to Substack, linked in the description. You can also watch bonus episodes with Mikey Graceffa from Death Becomes Her, Isaiah Rutledge, Sunset Boulevard's G-Min Moon. We have Derek Cage, Patrick, Nick, Thanos, Mark. They're all hot. The stories are amazing. And you should go check it out at substack.com/@EricWills, linked in the description. I love you. Bye.